Welcome to the Six Again podcast, your new destination for all things NRL. Here to bring you everything from team news to best bets are your hosts Adam Hoy and Jared Mutton. Let's kick off.
Hello and welcome into the Six Again podcast. This is our round 12 preview, which is our Indigenous round for the year, and always a round that fans, especially myself, I assume Jared as well, really look forward to. I love seeing the jersey designs, the players' boot designs, the amount of work that goes into the community, all that sort of stuff. So I'm really looking forward to it. My school, even though TChat has an input into this, and I guess I can say it now, but I'll say it for a bit later in the show, eh? Before we get into all that sort of stuff, I want to apologize for last episode and the stuff around with the introduction. We actually had quite a bit of fun and I rolled up Jared quite a bit, which is hilarious. And then the recording didn't save because my disk ran out, or hard drive ran out of space. So I've had to update that. Hence why you got such a poor introduction with me falling asleep. So it was 6 a.m. in the morning.
He didn't even tell me. He sent me a message at like 11:30 or 12 o'clock that night and said, did it save on yours? As I'm assuming one desperate last hope to see if it actually saved. I didn't even know that part.
Because usually when you finish recording, it just pops up into the folder and all the different sound files and you edit them individually. And I was like, why are we starting 12 minutes in? Oh, you got to be kidding me. And then I was like, I should probably get up and do the intro now. But it's also 11:30. So yeah, I'll wait till the morning. I'll be right. No, it's horrible. I was sitting here in slippers and yawning every freaking 10 words. Oh, but tonight we're back on it. Indigenous round. It's going to be awesome. Anything else you've been up to, Jared? Are we going to get straight into it?
No, actually, with the Indigenous round, get along onto the South Sydney Facebook page. So what's happened there is that they've individually created everyone's boots on Facebook. And it looks so cool. Like, all the boots on there, is going to look epic this weekend.
I can't wait.
Yeah.
There's a bunch of awesome stories up on NRL.com, which we'll get to as well. And there's stories off the field that we'll chat about. And this has been completely selfish. We talked about last episode how the federal government has extended their program for the Brisbane Broncos Girls Academy, working with Indigenous girls in schools. And as my school's part of that, two of our girls actually got to design the boots for Tyson Gamble, who unfortunately is suspended for this week and won't be able to play, but then also David Mead. So they designed the boots that the Broncos will wear on the weekend, which is really exciting for the girls, getting to work with the players and design and draw on the boots and all that sort of stuff. And also Scotty Prince and a bunch of the players off the field will be coming up to our school next weekend, and I get to sit down and do a one-on-one interview with Scott Prince, which is going to be a two-on-one. Myself and one of the students in our bench press club are going to sit down and interview Scott Prince for 15 minutes, which is going to be really cool. So can't wait to see.
Awesome. We're plugging another podcast now. Sweet.
Oh, it's the one from my school. Come on. It's like, guys, we get to interview Scott Prince. And one of the kids is like, yeah, I don't know who that is. And I was like,
Adam. I'm happy to be used as a test run for Adam to set up this school thing. And it's been really good. Adam's told me a fair amount about it and the kids seem to be really enjoying it. I haven't actually had a chance to listen to any of it yet, but it seems pretty good.
Yeah, it's been fun. It really has been. The kids really enjoying learning how to put podcasts together and interview other students, interview teachers. We've just finished our second feature article. So, yeah, it's been really cool. And it's Annabelle's third birthday on Sunday. So we're going to have a big weekend.
Oh, where's my birthday?
Didn't you get one?
Oof.
I don't know. I don't do any of that. Do you want one?
Oof. No, I'll be Gladstone.
Yeah, see? There we go. See, I knew that.
That's just awkward, though. Like, it had to be found out on this podcast.
No, you're still smiling. You're going to miss out on, like, pass the parcel and shit.
Yeah, that's right. And last time, there was an awesome Spider-Man at Atticus 4th. That was epic.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah, he fell over.
He did.
Spider-Man. He tried to jump off the thing. He wasn't built for jumping.
Oh, that was me. Right. Yeah. Now I see what you're saying. Yeah, you're smart ass motherfucker. Anyway. That's the end of Beers and Banner. We'll finish on that high note. We'll be back with Off the Ruck. Everything's been happening off the field. Off the Ruck this week is pretty much focused on Indigenous round. However, we do want to start with the results from the National Women's Rugby League Championships that we were talking about two weeks ago. It seems like it's gone past so quickly. So there's an under-19s and an open women's comp. And really cool story in the open women's, in that WA took out the National Women's Rugby League title. And it was the first year that WA has had a team in the Opens division, which was amazing. They won 10-6 in Golden Point over the First Nations Gems team down in Redcliffe. So huge, huge result there for WA. One of the AFL strongholds, obviously, Australia-wide, and in an area where rugby league is trying to build and instill more grassroots in that area. So for their women to win the national championships is a huge result. And in the under-19s, it was an all-Queensland affair in the final. The Queensland Sapphires run away with a 16-4 win over the Rubies, also at Redcliffe. So a win there for Queensland. So the pathway for the girls in the under-19s is obviously to try and get representation in the under-19 state of origin. And then hopefully out of this, a number of the girls will be selected NRLW sides, either the four existing or hopefully the two new expansion teams that are touted to be in the comp this year. So congratulations to WA in the Women's Opens comp and the Queensland Sapphires for the under-19s. And the whole story and the articles and the score lines are both up on NRL.com. Yes. Okay. So are we going to do all the Indigenous round stuff first, or are we going to...
Yeah,
let's do that. So Indigenous round's been on the calendar for a number of years now. There's always the... One of my favourite parts that the NRL puts up is the player map, and they've got that up again this year to show where players within the within rugby league have come from, who their tribes are, what areas of Australia they come from. And the NRL's trying over this weekend to really point out the numbers and statistics with regards to employment and education and the gap that is still there, albeit small, that has been in the years past, which is improvement. And they're looking a lot at the the work and education programs that are in schools and the impact that they're having on students and then also employees when they step out into the workforce. So there's a 26% gap in the employment rate of Indigenous and non-Indigenous population. Countering that though, 95% of placed participants from the school to work program remain in employment. So that's a huge positive to take out of the employment side of things. And also in the kids with regards to completing year 12, 92% of the participants in the NRL school to work program complete year 12. You look at that compared to a 25% gap in graduates, Indigenous to non-Indigenous, and the services and the resources that the NRL has are being put to good use in these areas, which is brilliant to see. I'm lucky enough to see it firsthand. There's going to be a lot of work over this weekend in linking the NRL's reach Australia-wide all the way down to grassroots level and the importance of being proud of our Indigenous culture and represent it in the best way we can.
NRL been doing slowly progressing into doing a fair amount into this issue, and it's really good to jump into the community did. It's the best thing though is that they've got so many of their high class Aboriginal athletes in the NRL. Yeah, Cody Walker, Latrell Mitchell, all them are doing so much for the communities every single weekend. It doesn't even get notified, but this is the week to congratulate that as well. because these boys are out in the communities, you know, any chance they get to help. And then you throw in JT. Greg Inglis isn't in Australia anymore, but he was a big one as well. So the Aboriginal representative players in the competition, they buy into this as well, which makes it really, really positive moving forward. So it's really good the NRL jump on this.
And I'm interested for any of our New Zealand listeners, does it get as much coverage in New Zealand with regards to the Warriors? Because Indigenous means the native people of that land. And for the New Zealanders, that's the Maori culture. And for Papua New Guinea, it's a... I'm not going to try and come up with that. I don't know the term for the Indigenous people there. We'll say Papua New Guinean people. Yeah, I don't know if they had a different term for it. But whether it's celebrated there as well would be really interesting to hear from. Just some numbers here. The 206 Indigenous players currently in the NRL, 206 players in the NRL era since 1998. 12% of current NRL players are Indigenous. Obviously, Jonathan Thurston won Dally M player, best player four times. And Indigenous legend Greg Inglis holds a state of origin try scoring record with 18 for the Maroons. So they've had Indigenous players have had a massive impact on the game. And I'm going to throw Jared on the spot here. Four Aboriginal players have played more than 300 NRL games. Who are they? Four players. We saw three of them play.
Matt Singh?
No. But good answer. He had high 200s.
Yeah, he'd be up there. Preston Campbell?
Nope.
David Peachy?
Nope. 300. 300's a lot. Not a lot of players get there.
JT.
You got to be around. Who?
JT.
Yes.
Greg Inglis?
Nope.
Jesus. All right. You got me. Who?
Sam Thaiday?
Oh, there you go. Yeah.
Scott Prince.
Yep.
And Cliff Lyons.
Cliffy.
I know, man. How his lungs survived that long and how he's still playing, I have no idea.
He is the last of the old school rugby league player. Jesus Christ. He was just epic. Had the big mo, smoked.
Oh, even, man.
Like, he would have played around the same time as Des Hasler, one of the most professional, fittest. Yes. Players in the competition. And so Des Hasler's playing seven. He's got that attitude. He used to go out on Sunday afternoons and run till he vomited. And you got Cliffy, he's drinking piss.
Oh, man. I would have loved to have been... One, I would have loved to have been there. But two, I would have loved to be at Manly when Hasler was coaching, Watmo was training. That would have been brilliant to watch that. I've picked up one of the stories here from NRL. There is a bunch of them. Okay, a bunch of stories, and they're all really good reads about players who were aware of their heritage from a very young age, players who are still exploring and learning about their heritage. And we talked about the importance of that when discussing the Samoan national team and how important those camps are for players who, while Samoan, while they come from Samoan heritage, they may have grown up from a non-Samoan lifestyle and have little knowledge of their people. And there's a lot of stories on the NRL website with players on different parts of their journeys. And the one I've pulled up here is one about Jack Bird, and he's honouring his late Nana, who had a massive impact on him and his learnings and knowledge of his heritage. And I love that because my Nan's still alive and she loves sport and loves Manly inside and out. And I don't get to see her very often, but she's had a big impact on my life. And I really enjoyed reading the article here from Jack Bird's opinion and talking about the importance of the round. And there's pictures of him working in the community with a bunch of youngsters here, and they've just got massive smiling faces and they're as happy to see him as he is to see them. And I think a lot of this week's about that. It's a celebration and as well as the importance of knowledge and education. I lost my words there because I was just having a look at some of the pictures on the article. That's my bad.
Yeah,
that's
they...
Bad reporting.
Like I said, the players... they get judged a lot for what they do on the field. And, you know, this podcast is definitely down that alley.
Hey, man, we're elite sports people. We can discuss about what we want.
But you got to give them credit for what they do in the community. You know, a lot of them do it without any recognition or fanfares. Like, a lot of them coach junior football teams. A lot of them just rock up and run water. You know, they all do it. You know, you got your bad eggs amongst them, but they all do what they can to represent the game as well as they can. And this round is just commemorating all that, all the work that the NRL does that in the Indigenous communities.
Yes, celebrating it. The other article I have up here is the jersey that the Gold Coast Titans are wearing this weekend. That was a joint design. Jamal Fogarty, Dave Fifita, Tyron Peachy all worked with Maybell Park High School graduate Ashley Banks designing the strip that they'll be worn. So another example of clubs reaching out to schools and working with them to design something that's going to be not only worn by the players, but will be an icon or a beacon, basically, for the Indigenous population for that weekend. Before we get on to all of the signings and drama and signing drama that looks as though it's going to occur over the next couple of days, just wanted to point out something that was pretty funny that I saw on Twitter today. So there's a couple of people I follow that are Manly supporters, and I don't know them. I've just found them on Twitter. And one of them's put up a post from the Manly Seagulls account, and it's, you know, those signs that you see outside schools and primary schools, high schools that have messages about what's going on in the school?
Yeah.
Yeah. This one's from Manly Village Public School. And the sign says, "How can I improve my learning today? ? We are learning to spell Trebojevic. Go Manly." And I was like, that is so good. And underneath it's a picture of a T intersection. And when you pull up to the T intersection, along the, there's a whole white picket fence or a fence. And along the whole thing, someone's painted in red paint, "Go sub." And it takes up about 20 meters of this fence. And underneath it, like, this is the most the community's got behind the Seagulls since, oh, I can't remember what year, one of the grand finals. But I love the fact that a school's putting that up on their sign. And it's not just Manly that do. I'm sure there's pictures like that from all around other clubs. But obviously, outside of the podcast, I follow Manly more so than others, and I just thought that was a really funny thing to see. I can't see our school doing it, but we did have a big good luck Tino thing up there on ours for when he played Origin last year, so yeah, maybe not. Pretty much the rest of this is signings, eh? And do we want to go to the start of it with the news about Blake Green? Because this is kind of or do we want to do the George Williams first, because it's a bit separate to the rest?
No. Oh, yeah. Go George Williams. So George Williams.
This is brilliant. There's one aspect of this that is brilliant.
So it's been rumors for, 6 months now that he's homesick. He's got a kid on the way. His partner's pregnant. He's asked for a release before. Canberra denied it because he's only 18 months into a 3-year deal, which, you know, they're justified in denying it. They put him through multiple mental health and all that kind of stuff to make his life, you know, not replace what he's got over in England, but try and make it a bit easier for him over here.
Yes.
While he's living. Clearly had homesickness. COVID affected him. He's asked for multiple releases. And then it came to a fact this week that, depends who you ask, but from what we can discover, he sent a text to the mental wellbeing officer at Canberra saying he can't come to training and he potentially could play this weekend.
Which is fair.
Yeah, so if he's struggling that bad, like, you know, last year South Sydney Rabbitohs put James Robertson in mental health unit. It's, you got to do what you got to do. If he's not mentally right, he can't run into a professional sports field. Like, come on. And then it just kind of snowballed from there. This is actually where it gets a bit fuzzy, because if you ask our mate James Hooper.
I do this bit.
Okay, you can do this bit.
This is so much fun. Just to clarify, George Williams was asking for a release at the end of this season.
Mm.
So he was willing to play the rest of this year, but wanted to go at the end of this season. So he would have completed two of his 3 years. Some people are up in arms about that, saying, you just want to stay here for the rest of the year just so you can collect the rest of your paycheck. Well, no, we'll say goodbye to you now. So he was on that. Raiders had to pay $200,000 to get a transfer fee to sign him in the first place, and they want to recoup some of that. And the fact he was on $700,000, I think, for the year. That's quite a bit of money. But on NRL 360, I believe two nights ago now, it was Paul Kent, Ike, and James Hooper and another journalist, I can't remember. Oh, Crawley, that was his name. And Ben Eichen read out the tweet that George Williams put out. Do you still have it in front of you there, Jared? James Hooper had come out and written that George Williams had alerted the club via text that he needed an immediate release. George Williams put up there saying, false. I texted the welfare manager to say that I was unfit to come to training to play this weekend, not to seek an immediate release from my contract. Ben Eichen read out George Williams' reply live on NRL 360, which I thought showed the complete incompetence at times of Fox, the fact that Hooper was not aware that this was going to get read out, because his reply was along the lines of, that's not the information I was led to believe coming in here. And then within two sentences, he said, well, there's obviously two sides to this story and there needs to be more verification. So our thing was like, so now you're admitting that you posted a story without knowing all of the information and you're literally trying to backpedal on live TV.
So the exact text was
so good.
Fox Lead put in London Corn, how George Williams dumped the Raiders by text, which is
James Hooper's article.
That's questioning a lot of George Williams' character, that line right there. And then George Williams went on the attack and went, false. I text to explain my mental well-being to the welfare manager. I asked for a lease weeks ago for the end of the season. Not once did I ask for an immediate lease, but instead of supporting me, the club kicked me out the door. Plus, I've not even signed the release. So what's happened there is that James Hooper's jumped the gun. He's probably heard it from the fucking...
mascot.
The dish pig in the Canberra Raiders kitchen and gone run with it because it's a story. He's the first one to release it. George Williams. See, the thing about this whole thing is that it's a really bad cancer of rugby league because News Limited owned rugby league essentially.
Yeah.
The media owned rugby league. So these NRL reporters, James Hooper, Paul Kent, Phil Rothfield, they have no blowback if they get something wrong with discuss someone's character in a negative way. But on the other hand, if a player has a go at a guy in the media, the media has no blowback in destroying him, essentially. It goes back to, about 10 years ago in that the disastrous press conference with Darius Boyd where...
They were chasing him while he was...
Yeah, he was really struggling with mental health and wasn't handling... Like, he could handle playing football, but a lot of these guys are very good football players. They're not supposed to deal with the intricacies of the media until you can handle it. They're trained all their life to play football, not deal with that shit. And there was that famous thing where he only gave one-word answers and the media crucified him for it. So that's the thing. There's no blowback for the media, players... try and do the same thing, and words are so strong they can destroy him. It's ridiculous.
And now
George Williams has blown back at James Hooper last night. James Hooper got the shits because he got called out on live TV by Ben Eichen.
Brilliant.
Today he releases an article. Look, I've heard this, and this, mate. You called up multiple clubs to say you wanted a release from Canberra Raiders.
See, the full Australian experience and live closer to the beach.
Literally no proof that James Hooper's given. He's just written it on a piece of paper. He, as I said, he probably could have heard it from the fucking Broncos dish pig that, Oh, mate, I reckon it'd be good if you signed George Williams. And that's what he's run with. It's just like...
And the funniest thing when you're saying the blowback is, I've got this, Fox Sports is on the front foot, I've been shut up about it. Hey, how about I bring up a quote from 5 months ago over summer where George Williams supposedly said, I want to get the full Australian experience and live closer to the beach. Dude, that was over the summer. We're in May, almost June. In the world that we live in right now, a lot can happen in 4 months. And if you, nothing shows how poor an understanding you have of mental health, then what can happen in a 4 to 5 month period at in an elite sport for someone living on the other side of the planet to his family that are still in much tougher isolation than us. You are such a fuckhead. Sorry.
So And see, the thing about it is as I mentioned earlier, these players do a lot for communities and stuff like that. I'm sure if you scroll through Canberra's Facebook page, George Williams would be in Canberra Hospital helping out sick, you know, doing all that kind of stuff, which they always do. What has James Hooper and Paul Kent ever done to promote rugby league? They get on NRL.
Yeah, I don't know. I thought you were going to say, what work have they done in the community? I'm like, oh, I'm not touching this because I have no idea.
Yeah, no, but like they got a platform on that show. And I know it's got an agenda to talk about the hard topics. But like Adam, tonight, spent 20 minutes researching, you know, the women's NRL, National Women Championship, talked about the Indigenous, what they're doing at schools. They don't do that kind of stuff at all. And they've got the most access to it all. All they have to do is spend 10 minutes on their show going, look, the NRL is doing this. It's fantastic. Here's a story, a positive story about this player. There's no positive stories they bring up. It's just horrible.
So the whole end of that is James Hooper sucks. Canberra Raiders have probably done the right thing in the end and get an immediate release because it saved them money, because it's going to cost them money for holding a player who doesn't want to be there after the season, which makes sense. George Williams, when he first signed the contract, would not have envisioned this scenario happening. I'm sure when he first signed the contract, he envisioned his family being able to fly over here and back when required. That hasn't been the case. It would have had a massive impact. So I think moving forward, it puts everyone in the best position. Canberra is freed up, I believe, about $700,000 or $600,000 left on the contract between now and the end of next year to look for halves, look for a half. Sam Williams is now the starting halfback moving forward, and Jack Whiten's back from suspension this weekend. They've played together, so Canberra's going to try and move forward from here. Okay, the next set of signing dominoes. Now, this looks really interesting. This is the stuff that I love seeing. And I'm used to seeing in American sport where this player will go here, which will release cap money for this team, and this person will go here. We've started to see it a little bit in the NRL now with the Harry Grant for Momorowski switch last year. This one could take it to a whole nother level with, 1, 2, 3 clubs involved and 4 players involved, I believe, Jared.
Yeah. Okay, so how it starts is... and. There's been rumours about that's going to definitely happen soon, but yesterday probably was a trigger. So Blake Green, after a very distinguished career, like you can't deny this bloke's been a very good half over his time, played for a lot of clubs, announced his retirement, come out and saying, look, I know where I have to be on the field. I know what to do. My body's not keeping up my head. Yeah. So, he came back from ACL Rico at 34 years old. A lot That's of people did tough. Doubt him. I give him full credit for giving it a go, but he didn't make Newcastle go through it for the rest of the year. He played about 4 games with, nah, sorry, guys, I'm holding you blokes back. So, because of that,
he played 270 games.
Yeah, no, he had a great career. Like,
yeah.
when 2 years ago when Newcastle signed him, it was a good signing. Like, he came from Bulldogs to Newcastle, and after four games, he was looking pretty good and tore his ACL. And then, like we said, we fully commend him for getting back, but nah, he couldn't do it. So because of this, it's cleared up space in Newcastle's salary cap to potentially pick up Jake Clifford straight away from Cowboys, because Tom Dearden's playing reserve grade at Broncos because he's already signed for 2022. He's going to go straight to the Cowboys. Jake Clifford goes to Newcastle. And what that releases is Billy Walters from Tigers
Broncos. Yeah.
And then, who's the coach's son? Billy Walters, Kevin Walters. Ah, what a coincidence. And then, completely unrelated, it looks like Matt Lodge is going to go to Newcastle.
Yep.
So there's the four players moving around. How do you feel about Tom Dearden going there earlier? Will that help Cowboys? Will that make Broncos suffer? Where are you thinking?
I think that the NRL has to look at this and be like, this is another tick in the box of having a trade window. Because if this wasn't, for one, this is entertainment. Whether you like it or not, it's entertaining and interesting to see what happens to these clubs, where these players go, what impact it's going to have on their roster moving forward. The stupid thing is there's no certain period in the year that's just designed for this. It's happening in the middle of the season, which is stupid. So whether
stupid
we have
or stupid?
Both, whether we look at a 2-week block, or a 3-week block in the middle of the season where origin tests and trade happens, whatever.
Oh, that'd be intense.
Would be, but could be awesome. And players get rest and all that sort of stuff, or at the end of the season. But stuff like this is awesome to watch and see how it unfolds. I don't believe Blake Green leaving opens the salary cap because Clifford's already signed, but it opens up one of the spots on the 30-man roster. And I believe that Clifford's deal is going to be less than Green's was anyway, but it opens the spot, which is the key. I don't see why the Cowboys do this. I see where the Knights do it. I don't see why the Cowboys do this. They're the ones who have everything to lose here, in my opinion, because the way that they've been playing, Clifford and Drinkwater together. Yes, I know Clifford's not going to be there next year regardless, but they're onto something good here. And it would, to me, I think it would serve all the youngsters they've got in their team, Tulagi, Lamelu, the Fords, to have an extended period, three quarters of a season, playing with the same halves pairing. Because regardless who's going to be that halfback next year, all the systems are going to stay the same because that's just how the NRL works. You don't shift systems year to year.
It's only round 11.
I know.
So if Tom Dearden does go, you play majority of the year.
Yeah, but you're going to spend four or five weeks getting up to speed, and that could cost the Cowboys their season. They're in the hunt for a top eight spot the way that they're playing. It's not going to be the top of the top eight, but it's going to be the bottom of the top
Bring
eight.
Bring him off
that's
the bench and put Ben Hampton in there.
No, well, that's more switching. Hampton shown he wasn't – well, he kind of was up to it, but then he got injured anyway. I don't see the point of wrecking Cowboys' momentum, especially when they're going to be taking weeks now with Tamalolo being out suspended. And then through the origin period where there's going to be more disruption, bringing a new halfback in over that time is just going to add more and more disruption. So I don't see the advantage here for the Cowboys letting go of Clifford whatsoever. For the Broncos side of things, Dearden's not doing anything there anymore. He's not going to get a run in the club. They may as well let him go. It opens up a spot on their roster if they want to bring Billy Walters up early, which is fair because the West Tigers aren't using him. In saying that, there's no reason why the West Tigers have to release him because if he goes to the Broncos, then he's going to be playing against their side. So I think the only teams that stand to win out of this are Newcastle if Clifford comes, because he'll be an upgrade on anyone that they've got in the halves till Pierce comes back, in my opinion. And the Broncos, if they can get Dearden off the books, get rid of a distraction and bring Walters in, who's a quality player. And I guess it opens up a roster spot for the Tigers if they want to look for somebody else. Won't open up a whole bunch of cap space. And then the Matt Lodge thing is separate to all of this in that they need money. They've spent money on Reynolds. They're going to have to sign Walters. And supposedly they're in the hunt for Sewer, Gay Guy, and Hines. And they've tabled an offer to Hines today. in the ballpark that Hines was looking for, 3 years for $1 million, which is unders, in my opinion, if he continues this form. They're just trying to get on top of things early. So if Newcastle can pick up Clifford and Lodge out of this, it'll be an upgrade for them. I just don't see why the Cowboys and the Tigers do it right now. Is that a good enough breakdown?
Well, see, where does Walters play next year?
At the Broncos?
Yeah, so does he come in at 9 and take over the current captain?
I've only seen him play a couple of times, and I thought he played at 5-8.
Well, he's played at 9 as well, but where does he go? Does he come off the bench for Broncos next year? That's what I don't see, because they promised number 6 jersey to Katoni Staggs and next year. So, yeah, I don't see where exactly he fits in, because they've still got Corey Pakes, Jake Turpin, and they have add Billy Walters. They'll have, you know, Albert Kelly, Carmichael Hunt. They're going to have a lot of players to fit in those players, which is a good thing to have depth, but is it going to work for them? For Cowboys, look, I'm not going to say no to giving Clifford right now. So from their perspective, I kind of agree with Adam. I know Tom Dearden's going to come in there, and if he does,
if Dearden comes in for halfback, he's only going to be there for the rest of the season. Then he's in reserve grade anyway.
Well, that depends. There's also Chad Townsend got dropped from the Cronulla.
Yeah, that's because Cronulla is signed for the Cowboys. He's on 800K.
Well, it also depends where Todd Payton wants to play Scott Drinkwater next year.
That's what it's riding on, because...
Yeah, because Chad Townsend is going to get the 7 jersey. It's just debate who's going to get the 6. So what if Todd Payton rates Dearden so high, he puts him ahead of Drinkwater?
That's his
call. In your opinion, you don't agree with it, but Todd Payton, mate, he does everything out of the box anyway. So you don't know what he's going to do.
Let's have a look here.
So for Newcastle, we're going to get a kicking game out of Jack Clifford, which I am stoked about, because we don't actually have a deep kicker other than Pierce. This, for me personally, I don't understand, because it came out a couple of days ago that Newcastle were going to give Kurt Mann an extension. Where do you see Kurt Mann playing next year? Because you got Clifford, you got Pierce, you've got Brayley, and you've got Watson.
You have to repeat that. So I'm just finishing one more thing here. Billy Walter? No, it was Jake Clifford. That was it, wasn't it? I'm just having a look at career games played for Jake Clifford, Scott Drinkwater, and who's the other guy? Dearden.
Yeah, Dearden. Dearden would have played the least.
Yeah, I just wanted to see by how much, that's all. So Dearden's played 22 first grade games. Drinkwater's played 38. Clifford's played 41. So Clifford's played the most of the lot. Close enough to double what Dearden's played. And Drinkwater's in the middle of those. Out of those three, who do you think's shown the most in the time that they've been given? Attributes that you'd want at your club. Yeah, I agree.
Drinkwater.
Yeah, because none of the three have really learned how to control their game yet.
But Dearden and Clifford over Drinkwater and that.
In that at this stage, but none of them are even close to being above average in that department. Whereas Drinkwater brings the best running game of the lot. He brings a good enough short kicking game, and he's, to me, a better playmaker at this stage than the other two are. Clifford's getting there, and he's getting to his better positions on the field, and his attacking kicking game is getting there. But I think Drinkwater's the more all-round player here. And if I was opening up a starting position in my halves, he'd be ahead of the other two.
But that, like I said, this comes back to what I said earlier. That's
okay, to come back to Peyton. Yeah, you know, I was just having a look at the career games. But anyway.
Okay, so back to what I asked. So Kurt Mann's obviously got a bit of a spot at Newcastle right now, much to, I hope, most fans' chagrin. Where do you see him playing next year? Because like I said, you got Brayley at hooker, 80-minute player, Pearce and Clifford in the halves, Ponga at fullback, and Watson a utility. But on the other hand, they're giving Mann a extension for next year. So he's signed to end of 2022. They want to lock him up for another 2 or 3 years after that. So plus that people go, oh, we'll put him in the centers. They've got Bailey Hodgson, Josh Hodgson's nephew, Bradman Best, Dominic Young, Inari Tuala.
I like what I've seen from Musgrove too. Edric Lee Musgrove, coming
Shibasaki,
back.
Heimel Hunt.
Edric Lee.
So they've got Edric Lee. Well, maybe. And Jacob Carraz. He's a pretty good young player. So where do you see Kurt Mann come into any of them? Because
the only thing I can think of is how long's Ponga got before he leaves? 2 years or 1 year?
Over 2 years. So, but then they've got Tex Hoy and Bailey Hodgson coming in behind. Okay, another question for you.
I think the bigger question is where does Tex Hoy play? Because Kurt Mann's a style of player that you can pick up on the open market at the end of every season.
Yeah.
Like, look, Broncos picked up Asiata for a year. Like, you can get players like that for a year if you need them. I don't see the sense of ever looking up someone like Kurt Mann for longer than 2 years.
Where do you see him playing?
I wouldn't be playing him.
Yeah, and it's just hard because he'll get an upgraded deal and they're extending his contract. Because he's a very quality player when he's not playing in the halves. Let's put it that way.
Captain of the New South Wales Cup side.
Yeah, and because he's a good player, but he's not better individually at any positions than anyone else. Because Connor Watson's a better utility. So it's very interesting what's going on in Newcastle down there right now.
I was saying that the Broncos back line for next
year. So we're saying that Newcastle are going to win this, Cowboys are going to lose, and Broncos are going to win?
If it all happened right now.
Yeah, if it happened. Okay, so that's how we're looking
at it. If it happens at the end of the season, I believe Newcastle are still winners. Oh, I've written you guys off, so I'll say they're still winners.
Okay, another part of it is, like, Newcastle's forward pack's pretty deep. Pretty decent. Like, yeah, it's not bad.
Lodge is an extra piece. I'm not even considering. He's just like a cherry on top sort of thing.
See, so that's the thing. We've got to drop Brody Jones. That's as far as I can tell because our bench. Cool. Okay, fair enough.
Him or Safidi, whatever. But he's just a cherry on top. To me, like, Newcastle's a big winner if it happens now. They'll still be a winner in the long term, regardless at the end of the season. But Cowboys can be winners out of this if they hold Clifford for this year, in my opinion. But anyway, so actual signings that have happened, this is all still hearsay, but it looks as though it should or could happen. Cowboys have agreed to a one-year contract extension with outside back David Bowen for the 2022 season. This is huge for Jarvid because he was released by the Cowboys, only came back a few weeks ago, and now has earned a new and extended contract. So that's brilliant. So that comes off the back of Peter Hicku's two-year deal. For the Cowboys as well. So shoring up their outside back options there. All right. That's everything with regards to signings. And, yeah, we mentioned Nico Hines. Waiting to see what Melbourne Storm do there. All right, cool. We'll come back with hard hits, injuries and suspensions. Suspensions being the big headliner this week with Roosters and New South Wales Origin hopes taking a dent. Okay, so there were three major players at Judiciary on Tuesday night. Elliot Whitehead, Angus Crichton and Victor Radley. So Elliot Whitehead was in there trying to basically get a fine taken off for tripping. He lost in his appeal and will be paying the fine for his trip. The big ones, though, Angus Crichton and also Victor Radley. So Angus Crichton was trying to get his grade one dangerous contact charge downgraded for his late shot on Albert Kelly. His main argument was that his vision was impaired when he tackled the Broncos half due to another player in his line of sight, and he was unaware that he had passed the ball. However, that did not work, and carryover points from his three prior incidents in the past few years bumped Crichton's ban from a potential fine to a two-week suspension, hence why he went to the judiciary. The hit itself was a fine, but because of his carryover points, it put it into a two-week suspension. So that's why he was trying to appeal it to start with. Victor Radley had already accepted a one-week suspension for a separate hit on Kelly, but then he was trying to downgrade his grade two careless high tackle charge. However, it was upheld, meaning a three-week ban plus the one-week ban that he already had, meaning he's going to be out for 4 weeks. I thought he was out for five. No, five, because he got it upheld. So a week for a separate offence, and because it was upheld, it added the extra time on. So a four-week and a one-week suspension adds up to 5 weeks for Victor Radley. He made some pretty strong comments after the judiciary saying, "I learnt my tackling style from some of the best defenders in modern rugby league," which I 100% agree with, is one of the best contact tacklers we have. We've talked about how hard it is for players to adjust this quickly, and he's a perfect example. Like, one of the shortest, smallest players on the field getting done for head-eye contact and missing 5 weeks for it. Anyway, I think the players have all the right in the world to speak their mind. It's not going to change anything, but...
Yeah, look. See, the thing that got me is that the NRL clamp is so tight on this that I was very surprised Bruce has even tried to fight it.
I think just they had because... to based on how their seasons...
I know, their
stocks
but...
are going.
Yeah, but reality of it is that they were never going to win this, ever. That was never going to work for them. The way the NRL's
the NRL's on the side saying, make sure they lose.
Yeah, so I when I saw that they were fighting, I just went, oh, bloody hell, you're kidding me, aren't you? Like, pull your heads in, guys.
This was the most interesting point I took out of it. So this is in the article write-up, and then they go into a quote from Radley. So this is from the article. Throughout 2 weeks of discussion and debate around concussions, high tackles and contact with the head, arguments have been made for low tackles to be encouraged and rewarded. This was put to Radley, who's, as it says in the article, renowned as one of the NRL's best and hardest hitters. Radley dismissed the notion outright. Tackling low isn't the answer, he said. I can't be premeditating tackling low and getting myself knocked out, copping elbows and hips. I know I can't hit the head, but tackling low isn't the answer. See, that's something we've been talking about, and I 100% agree with that. The difference with premeditating an upper body hit is if the player does step, you're still hitting them in the torso.
Yeah.
If you're going low and the player steps, you don't have the time to get it out of the way either way, but now you're looking at elbows, you're looking at knees and hips, especially with players like Clemmer, who have a high leg drive as part of their gait. You can't put yourself in that position. And I use ice hockey a lot, but I saw the most sickening concussion of my life 2 days ago. I've seen a lot of concussions in sport. This was the captain of one of the teams. He was hit in the upper body, which is fine, and he fell down onto the ice on all fours, which is fine. However, a skater was coming back at full speed and his knee collided with the player's head as he was trying to get up off the ice. The first aid went straight out, held his neck as you're meant to. The player was trying to stand up, as most concussed players try to do. However, because he was on ice, his entire body went limp and he just fell. He was leaning backwards onto the first aid officer, flattening him into the ice, and he was completely out. I've never seen anything like it. And that was literally from a knee to the side of the head at the same force that these guys will be putting their heads at. So I called that it was going to be, I was hoping there wouldn't be an overreaction. The overreaction's happening. I want to see what's going forward. Are they literally going to say tackle between shoulders and hips and that's it? Is that what coaches are going to start doing now? Because then it's just going to turn into, they were trying to get the wrestling out of the game, weren't they?
Yeah.
Now, if players don't want to tackle low and the NRL doesn't want to tackle high, it's pretty much going to become a hug-a-thon.
Yeah.
It's going to be interesting.
Yeah, look, just don't touch the head.
Don't touch the head, don't touch the hips or the knees for your safety.
Well, yeah.
I'd rather be suspended for 5 weeks than be concussed, honestly. On injuries, Harry Grant is pretty much ready to go again in his recovery from a hamstring tear. So that's good news for Queensland, probably the only good news that either Origin camp's had so far, according to Craig Bellamy. However, the same can't be said for Cam Munster, hence why I'm getting rid of him in my fantasy squad, which I don't think I've ever done. His foot rehab is coming along a lot slower than hoped. It's looking at this stage, he may even be missing from Origin 1, not just Melbourne Storm's next two games. Ryan Pappenhausen, as I said, will most likely miss the first and most likely, sorry, will miss the first and most likely the second game due to a concussion. Storm have taken a conservative approach with Kenny Bromwich and Riley Jacks. They won't be playing Thursday against the Broncos. Bromwich hamstring, Riley Jacks head knock, suffered last week. Adam Fanua-Blake, the league's newest Superman, has returned to full team training this week, despite his knee injury, meant to be sidelined him for another 2 months. He's targeting around 14 comeback against Melbourne. Cam Murray is back this weekend, declaring himself a certain starter. So there's some good news for New South Wales. Penrith have delayed Dylan Edwards' return from a hamstring injury by another week. In saying that, Panthers scored 56 against South Sydney without him. So Hamala Olakatu, head knock for Manly, won't play against the Knights. Knights welcome back Kalen Ponga and Bradman Best from injury. Some big names still missing this week. One coming back in Murray.
And Ponga and Best.
Yeah. Oh, they didn't mention Curtis Sironen. Curtis Sironen's back on Manly's bench this week for his first game in quite a while. I doubt he's going to be playing a lot of time, though.
You guys will roll over Newcastle anyway.
So that's injuries and suspensions. We are going to be back with team lists and matchups for round 12 Indigenous round after this quick break. All right, game one, Thursday night, 7:50, Storm home game, even though it's at Suncorp, doesn't matter for them. They've won 9 in a row against the Broncos, going for 10 in a row. Big ins and outs for the Broncos side. Sorry?
Jesse Bromwich has never lost at Suncorp Stadium.
For
this one, last week's 80th man, T. Rabati, has been named to make his debut.
Sorry? I'll just say Brisbane Broncos paying $7.50, Melbourne Storm $1.10.
Okay. So Tio Rabu is debuting. Congratulations on him. It'd be interesting to see how he goes. I don't even want to read this part. Anthony Milford's back for a third chance, replacing the suspended Tyson Gamble. And Albert Kelly will be shifting to halfback. Oh, my God. So this is the guy. This is his third chance to make a spot. And if he has a good game, you'll be there for the next 5 games. So, yeah. Herbie Farnsworth is back in the lineup. And Dale Coppy just back to reserve. Richard Cannon and Corey Pakes have dropped off the extended bench 24 hours before kickoff. For Melbourne, Christian Welch has been dropped out of the side due to a swollen knee. Tuikame Kamika start comes into the starting side. Dean Irema joins the bench. Isaac Lumi-Lumi was the other man to drop out of the squad on Wednesday. Jerome Hughes is back with Cooper John sliding back to the extended bench for Kemi Bromwich to spend at least another week on the sideline. Chris Lewis has been named on 6th jersey again.
Scored a try.
But saying that too, last week, Cooper Johns got brought in anyway. So it'll be interesting what happens there.
They played together because Jerome Hughes was out as well.
Okay. So for some reason, I preempted your pick and put down Broncos, but I'm assuming you're picking Storm.
Yeah, please.
Okay, so the only thing going in for Broncos
people... Is this showing where Storm's at or where Broncos are at? The fact that the Storm are missing Pappenhausen, Munster, Harry Grant, Kenny Bromwich, Christian Welch. So five of their starters, and I'm still not even giving this a second thought.
Yeah, look, and the fact that Milford's back.
And Broncos beat the Roosters last week.
Yeah, so that's what I was going to say. I think that the only thing that Broncos supporters are going to, look, we can beat the Roosters, maybe the Storm. Sorry to disappoint, but Storm are in way better form. They've scored, Matt, average 37.5 points for the last 5 weeks. They're insane. So there's not much you can say about this game. It'd be good atmosphere up at Suncorp. I'll give you that. But
Katoni Stags is at least a week away, isn't he?
Yeah, especially with Jerome Hughes back at seven. He was close to the form halfback in the competition before he got injured, minus Nathan Cleary. But yeah, do you have anything that you're interested in this game at all?
I'm interested to see if Nico Hines is Queensland or New South Wales.
He's New South Wales. Born in Gosford. All right. Next game. Cowboys versus Warriors at Country Bank Stadium. This is actually quite an interesting game.
So we've got Cowboys at $2. Warriors at $1.80.
Yeah. So Warriors lately have been putting it on, playing very, very well. I don't agree with Reece Walsh and Roger Tuivasa-Sheck swapping, but it is what it is. Okay, Cohen Hess returns from injury replacing Jason Tamalolo at lock. Hamasau Taba-Fido takes place at center. Connolly Lemieux with a thumb injury.
Good to see him back.
Lachlan Byrne and Francis Molo out due to suspension and head knock. Peter Holo and Corey Jensen. Helium Lukey retaining his spot on the bench.
Uh-huh.
Reece Walsh has been named in number one jersey. Rocco Berry will miss another week. Bantiafoa and Ben Murdoch-Masilla drop back to interchange, swapping players with Kane Evans and Jack Murchie. I'm very surprised about because Jack Murchie's been a very good player for them this year. Yeah, I don't...
They're kind of like the Cowboys, though. They've got a bunch of second rowers who are all pretty...
Yeah, but if Jack Murchie's thinking of, you know, getting the shit that he's not getting game time...
Jack Murchie's starting.
Oh, sorry. Read that wrong.
You're numpty. Alesi Katoa's back in the starting side.
Oh, okay, yep. Yeah, okay. So who are you going for this one?
I think this is like... an underrated match of the round. I think this is going to be a cracker to watch. I'm going to go Cowboys because, like I said, I've been talking about the last couple of weeks. I've been liking how they're playing. Tamalolo's a loss, but because of the way Peyton's been playing him, he's going to be a loss either way, but not as big a loss as previous years.
He hasn't been as effective as he's been 2 years.
I think he's been as effective. He's just not in the field as often. And the way that Cohen Hess has been running the ball at prop, I just hope he keeps the same at lock. Peter Holler's a good player to bring on in the interchange. Corey Jensen's a guy. I didn't get to watch the Warriors last week and the use of Walsh and Tuivasa-Sheck. The only highlights I saw were them, Tuivasa-Sheck, more of a roaming role, so it'd be interesting to see what happens there. I can't wait to see Reece Walsh versus Valentine Holmes. So if this is going to be the fullback battle leading into the future, I'm all here for that. And it'll be great to see the cheetah back in feed out. That's going to be brilliant. So yeah, I'm going to go the Cowboys.
He's the hound. No, he's not the hound. That's
the cheetah.
Yeah. Okay. He's
the fastest.
So you're going Cowboys on that one.
Yeah, I think I am. Yeah. I could see the Warriors winning. I think this is going to be a really, really decent game.
All right, so next game,
as long as it's West 13, Tigers versus
Dragons at Bankwest.
Who are you going?
Oh, I'm going Cowboys. Okay. Yeah, I reckon they'll win. Okay, so who's
favorite for this one, you reckon?
I'd go Dragons.
No, Tigers. $1.50 to $2.55.
All right, so I have got the biggest, most obvious tactic in the world. I don't understand what's going on here. James Roberts is playing on the wing with Tommy Talau moving into centres. Guess where Dragons are going to kick all night?
To Norfoluma.
They've got James. Oh my God. I really hope there's a late change here because they're going to bomb the shit out of James Roberts.
I'll just have a look at this. You can get Tigers for $2 instead of $1.50 covering the line at -5.5. So even though they've got a dollar between them as favourite, the line's only 5.5.
I'll get on it then.
If that makes sense. I don't. Oh, they've got the over-under at 50.5. 25 all draw, still won't get it done for you guys.
Okay. For Dragons, Josh Kerr misses the week after entering an early Gilder plea and was replaced by Tarek Sims. Paul Vaughan moves into starting side from interchange and with a swap with Poasa Famasuli, and Daniel Alvaro has been promoted to the bench. Cody Ramsey, Jaden Hunt and Max Figo all failed HIAs and...
Wait, you say Jaden Hunt?
Yeah, Jaden Hunt. So Cody Ramsey and Jaden Hunt passed, but Figo failed and was replaced by Braden Williami.
They didn't fail during the week. They failed it during the match. Yeah.
Yeah, and late call-up Talatai Amoni drops back to the interchange. Recently signed veteran Gerard Beal gets a start in the centres for the Dragons. That's going to be a safe place to put him. Look, I think it's the biggest hole in the world to have James Roberts in the wing. Defensively, attackingly, like... The fear is right because he doesn't know how to pass a football. But on the other hand, he doesn't know how to catch.
And the thing is, how's he going to run around someone if it's a sideline?
Yeah. But Mike Maguire 2 weeks ago was named a super coach.
True.
When they smacked Newcastle, so it'd be very interesting how this goes.
One thing we didn't touch on, through the week, Dragons have told Matt Duffy that he's free to go.
Oh, yeah. I was actually speaking to Wally about this, the resident Dragons expert on our podcast. And his reason is he's not consistent enough. He goes missing in games. And
is he talking about the Dragons or Dufty?
Dufty. Dufty specifically. He's not consistent. And he doesn't take control of the games like other fullbacks does.
Oh, so I went back and had a look. Job. Oh, my bad.
Look, I agree with him. And it's the same blow up we had when they got rid of, who'd they get rid of? McCulloch, didn't they?
McCulloch, he's...
No, no. Who did Dragons get rid of?
Gareth Widdop.
Oh, no. He was, a hooker. McInnes. They got rid of McInnes. For the same kind of reason, everyone's blowing up the heart and soul of the squad, captain. Same kind of thing. Griffin isn't, by the sounds of it, isn't looking for heart and soul. He's looking to win games because despite the fact Duffy and McInnes were the heart and soul of Dragons.
And their best players.
They weren't winning them games.
Yeah, well, because everyone else around them sucked.
Look, that's just what Wally said. I haven't watched them enough to really do the biggest opinion on it. But
you know why we haven't watched them enough? Because they're boring as hell. Because they've got Matt Duffy's the only one in that back line who had X Factor before they brought the Fegai twins in. Cody Renzi will get it if he has open space. Sorry, but...
Whoever is their next fullback, I don't believe it'll be Ramsey. I reckon they're going to go on the market for a fullback.
Of course they will.
is going to be like, because the thing I don't understand about that justification is that they got rid of Cam McInnes, a hard and soul player. They brought in the guy who runs less than Cam McInnes and Andrew McCulloch.
They brought in a poor man's version of Cam McInnes.
Yeah, so like they didn't bring in Tom Starling, they didn't bring a Damien Cook kind of thing. They brought in, yeah. So see how we go with that. I am going for Dragons because they're just going to kick the James Roberts the entire time.
And then West Tigers will kick to Cody Ramsey and it'll be the same thing.
No, Cody Ramsey's better catching the ball than...
I've just got that one image in my head from earlier in the year where he like dropped the same kick three times. I don't know. This is not going to be a fun game to watch. I've got flashbacks to last week already where everyone's cheering that the game's over, not because someone won. God. What? Jacob Little seems to have cemented the hooker position for West Tigers because Jack Simpkins not on the interchange anymore. Did either of these teams win last week? No, Dragons went down to Sharks and West Tigers beat Newcastle. Tigers got beaten. Which means they'll lose this week. And Dragons are away from home, which means they'll win. So all the money is pointing to the Dragons. For me? I'll go Tigers just to be different.
All right, Tigers. Okay, next game. Can you just bring up the odds for the next game? We won't even mention the teams.
Penrith will be favourite. I figure that's what you're getting.
I saw it as $21 last time.
Oh, is this the Bulldogs game?
Yeah.
Oh god.
Yeah. What's the odds on this one going at?
How's it? Are you still alive, mate? Oh yeah. It's a. Oh my god! It's $1.01.
So the lowest you can go.
I've got lying at $15 still. You reckon you've seen higher than 15?
Yeah, I've seen 21.
What? I'm gonna find one.
Yeah.
No way. All right,
hold up.
What's the line on this? Negative 26 or something?
It'd be higher than that. Yeah. Sports bet, $21 on Bulldogs.
Whoa.
Yep. Okay. Whoa. For this one, Kurt Capewell has accepted a 1-week ban, allowing Moses Leota to slot back in after his late withdrawal.
$19.
Liam Martin shifting to the second row. Dylan Edwards has failed to recover, so Stephen Crichton stays at fullback and Momorowski pardoning Matt Burden in the centres. For Bulldogs, Jack Herrington returns at prop. Josh Jackson is back, locking up the scrum. And Ava Siemena-Fanangai drops back to interchange. Adam Elliott moves from 13 to second row. And Jackson Tolpan, he returns for injury to replace Sione Katoa at dummy half.
Wow.
Yeah, we're both going Penrith.
I just thought you can get $2.10 for Penrith if you take the negative 36 line. So if you reckon Penrith can start on negative 36 and still win, you'll get $2. Oh, my God.
This is where my bet's going to be, is because I've got to start winning something.
Go Penrith. You win a cent to the dollar.
Okay, so I'm going...
are you actually on the Penrith game? You're finding some value.
Yep.
All right. This will be brilliant. Do you want me to go on to the next game while you're looking for that?
No, I've got it. All right. No, wait.
Oh, this is great. Great radio.
Okay. Okay. I'm putting $2 on Penrith to win. Staines to anytime try scorer and Brian Toha anytime try scorer.
Mm-hmm.
And that is going at $1.80, so I'm going to win a $3.60 minimum bet.
So just for reference, guys, if this is your first episode and you've made it this far, congratulations. At the start of the season, we both started with $100. Jared is currently on $6, and we're in round 12. So he's lost $94 in 11 rounds. I'm on $70. So I had a win last week, albeit not a big bet, but got one. So... that'll bring Jared up to a good old $7.09. Yeah. Anyway, so I reckon this will be a brilliant game for, I don't know what reasons, but last week we called our episode Sunday Showdown because it was Manly versus Parramatta and Penrith versus South. We got two overall not entirely close games. The losers of both those games are versing this week, which is ironic. So we've got Rabbitohs, who are coming off a 50-point spanking by Penrith, and Eels, who went down 28-6 to Manly. So which team bounces back better? Before we get into this, did you happen to see the comment Damien Cook made about Wayne Bennett after that game?
Yeah, so Wayne Bennett's a very player-focused coach, and he usually says something after the games, win or loss. This game, he went to the media and he left a message with one of the assistant coaches or whoever, and has said, make the boys have a shower, get dressed, jump on the bus. So, and they reckon it's scarier when Wayne Bennett doesn't say anything compared to if he rips you from one end of the room to the other.
So word for word, Cook goes, after the game, he didn't say one word. Normally he will at least say a couple, but by the time we got in the sheds, he wasn't even there. He had gone to the press conference and we were just told to get in the showers and get out of there. That was probably the worst thing you can get from a coach. Needless to say, he was disappointed.
Okay, so for South Sydney, Cam Murray returns, obviously. Jacob Hurst has been named to make their returns. Liam Knight and Jaden Silver relegated from the side, hubbled from Penrith. Wow, that is massive.
Not a bad reserves group. Liam Knight, Jaden Silver, Patrick Margo, Braden Burns.
Jai Arrow has been promoted to start a proper. Tom Burgess going to the bench. Hamay Selle joins the bench and Jed Carey misses out. For Eels, Regan Campbell-Gillard took an early blue guy tackle charge and will miss this weekend's game. That's going to be a massive loss for Para. Oregon Kafusi moves into starting sides and Murata Niokoro joins the bench. And Dylan Brown still another week away from his suspension. And same with Will Smith from his thumb injury. So
is Brad Arthur trying to lose to put pressure on himself on purpose?
Out of the two teams, who do you think is going to bounce back from a loss better?
Whichever team doesn't have Wonga Blake defending at centre after last week.
Okay, so you're going at South.
I'm just running at him, but I would not be surprised if Niokoro starts at centre and Wonga Blake is the interchange.
Yeah.
How cut would you be? He's been a centre his whole life. A second row has played six games and he's already a better defensive centre.
Well, I despite the fact Jacob Arthur played very well in his debut at Magic Round, last week he just got ran all over by Schuster, Cherry Evans, just got killed. This week he's up against the most experienced halves pairing in the comp, and then you add Benji Marshall on top of that. And then you add Damien Cook versus Reid Marnie. So
I'd give Reid Marnie the edge there this year.
But Parramatta, their biggest criticism in the last couple of years with the teams they've had, they've been very attack-focused in the players. As you said, Wonga Blake's a very good attacking player. Can't defend for shit. They're coming up against a team who I'd say stronger attacking-wise than they are. So you got Latrell Mitchell, you got Campbell Graham, Dane Gagai, Alex Johnson, Cody Walker, Adam Reynolds, Damien Cook. Then you got Guffo, Sivo.
The world's fastest second rower.
Ferguson, Mitch Moses. And, I don't see Parramatta scoring enough points. But I also don't rate Parramatta as a very strong defensive squad as well. So Souths have more points in them, but they have better defense. So I don't see Parramatta winning this at all.
Fastest second rower, Tane Milne on Supercoach is listed as center wing second row. So if you're looking for a cheap second rower this week who may have the possibility of scoring big points, Tane Milne is your man.
So,
I'm going rabbits as well. The odds on this one are looking, from last I saw, they were relatively even. $1.70 to $2.20. All right, so a 50-cent gap now. So it's stretched. South Sydney's shortened slightly. The line at this one, I won't believe would be too crazy. 3.5 points. So they're still expecting a tight game. Total points. Oh, they're still expecting a lot of points. They're over 50.5, as pointing to the lack of defense consistently between the sides, especially with Rabbitohs letting in 2 50-point games this year.
Okay. So for the next game, 18 months ago would have been an absolute crap. Now it's kind of... Ugh. So Roosters versus Canberra. Obviously, we just touched on Victor Radley and Angus Crichton being suspended. Isaac Liu moves from prop to lock. Takiaro is promoted to start a prop. Not a bad replacement, to be honest. And Daniel Saluka Fifita joins the bench. Josh Morris returns from back problem. Sees Joseph Sawali drop back to the reserves. For Raiders, Whiten and Hodson are back, which is huge for them. Jack Williams is new halfback after what we talked about George Williams, not related. Tom Starling retains number 9, even with George Hodson back. And Sammy Valami makes way for Jordan Rapana. CSL Iola has been named on the bench. Hudson Young dropped back to reserves. That's massive again. Ricky Stewart's throwing the axe down here.
Elliot Whitehead
suffered a finger injury. And yeah, Charles Nicol-Clock says out for a long time. So for this one, look.
Did they mention who's going to take Crichton's position? I don't think they did there.
Crichton?
Because Liu's coming in for Radley, which Takiaro is coming off the bench to prop. And Fifita comes onto the bench. That replaces
Radley. Well, this team got released on Tuesday.
Yeah, but even the late mail, they haven't updated it.
Yeah, so the late mail, he doesn't have to yet. He doesn't have to till 24 hours before.
Not true.
So by the looks of it, Egan Butcher would probably come onto the bench and Nat Butcher would probably start.
There's whispers that Sawali will come onto the bench and, Butcher will start. So
I don't agree with that at all. That means Adam Kieran and Sawali on the bench. And they're up against one of the most dominant forward packs in the competition with Horsburgh coming off the bench, Soliola coming off the bench, and Ryan James coming off the bench.
I'm just pointing out what I'm saying.
That just I don't think Robinson's gonna risk that. What's the odds on this one?
It's pretty sparse, pretty spread out, I believe. $1.30 for the Roosters, $3.70 for the Raiders.
Okay.
Maybe because this Williams stuff being sorted, a few ins coming in with Hodgson and Whiter might be enough to kickstart the Raiders against a probably shell-shocked Roosters team coming off the back of a loss against the Broncos, losing Crichton and Radley. The way that Crichton's been playing this year, Takiaho's been anything to write about considering he's been playing most of the year off the interchange. It could be a bit of an upset brewing here.
The thing about it is that two teams in this competition would react well, react stronger to a loss like Roosters suffered last week, and that's Melbourne and Roosters. Canberra, despite the fact they've got an attitude against backs against the wall,
they're not manly.
I think their biggest strength they've always had is that internally, they know they're strong, despite what comes out in the media about them.
Yeah.
Internally, they've been...
I see where you're going.
Internally, they've been ripped apart this week because they've lost their halfback. They've lost the guy they based their game plan around.
Ricky Stewart at all this week. Usually, he's on the front foot taking pressure off his team.
Yeah, so I with how the Raiders have portrayed themselves over this period of strength for the last couple of years. I honestly don't see him coming back from such an internal battle. Like, yeah, I don't see it. I don't see it. And then the Roosters, like, if I never wanted to, if the, when you, sorry, the week you don't want to play against a team as strong as the Roosters, as a club as strong as the Roosters, when they get beaten, especially as bad as they got beaten last week, you don't want to play. Trent Robinson would have flogged the shit out of them this week. So,
and I'm Sam Walker Roosters. Went missing again in a game where they're under pressure, same as he did against the Storm. He felt anything against Brisbane.
Well, this is what I had a rant about a month ago. Are you going Roosters?
Yeah, I will.
I'm going Roosters by a hefty margin here.
Ooh.
Yeah, I'm not betting it, but I already done my bet. But yeah, I see them rolling over Raiders pretty easily. Yeah,
neither team's at home, so it's at Central Coast. The fifth, yeah. We didn't even do a big preview of last week's country game. Sorry, guys, which is at Dubbo, the South versus Penrith. And this week, I believe this must be the fifth one already. Wow. Okay. Sharks versus Titans at Coffs Harbour, which is an awesome ground. It's really cool.
Todd Carney's going to get a front row seat.
Yeah, boy. So, Buddy Russell Crowe can watch it from his house.
Okay, so they're missing Maureen Haroti, Josh Dugan, and Teague Wilton. Haroti's wing spot's replaced by the returning Renato Mulitalo, which I wouldn't be surprised if he got the run anyway, if Haroti wasn't suspended. Talakai comes back. Adam is jumping around in the thing right now.
Hit him with your other shoulder.
Jesse Ramien is back from eye injury. So, despite the fact they got a lot of suspensions and injuries, they kind of got lucky that Josh Hannah didn't have to make a few tough conversations this week. Okay, Sean Johnson has been returned from his hamstring injury.
Townsend
dropped to reserves list. Look, I wouldn't be surprised if Josh Hannah dropped in for the rest of the year now, to be honest, with what's going on. And I wouldn't be surprised if that's a Craig Fitzgibbon in Josh Hannah's ear going, I don't want him to play this year. Go for it. Fafita's back on the bench, and he takes Billy McGoolis' spot. Titans, David Fafita, big fella returns this week, priming himself stays for Origin.
That's my fallback. That's what I want to see.
Pushes Bo Fermor to the bench and Sam Stone out of the squad. Patrick Herbert is back from a calf injury. So Sam Masters drops out of the side. That's huge. And Ash Taylor's named amongst the reserves. So the forward pack Adam was talking about. Jared Wallace, Mitch Rain, Moeka Fotowaka in the front row. Kevin Proctor, David Fafita in the second row with Tino Fasamuwali playing at lock, which, look, despite Adams is jizzing his pants over this, he'll play exactly the same way he's played for the rest of his... Yep, he'll play exactly the same way.
Did he see him play last week? Way bigger impact.
Nah.
He wasn't taking the first and second hit up at the set. He was taking the third or fourth and just killing them.
No difference.
He didn't even score a try or an assist, and he scored 91 points. Also, for Queensland fans, you're looking at half the Queensland forward pack just in the Titans forward pack just there.
Okay. Next game.
Please, Josh Hannay, give me one good thing from the Sharks this year. Start Talakai against Fafita. Please.
That would just be an
earthquake. I want to see those two run at each other. I want to see Tino versus Toby Rudolph. And I want to see Brighton Aquarius in front of a mirror and Kevin Proctor pretend he still has legs. Fotowaka is going to beat the crap out of Aaron Woods, which is going to be brilliant. Aiden Tolman, Jared Wallace are going to have the race to see who the slowest person on the field is. And I don't know what the rest. I have no idea who's going to win this game. I know the Sharks are going to score points because they're versing the Titans. I also know the Titans are going to score points because they're versing the Sharks. So Sharks are $2.20. Titans are $1.70. Technically, Titans are a home team here because they're closer to Coffs Harbour, I believe. 6 hours. It's about the same. 5 hours. No, they'll be about an hour closer. I want to see what the line's 3.5, but the total points got to be a big one. Come on. Yeah, over 50. $1.90 for over 50. Titans have got more to play for. So in my opinion, they've got more. I'm not going to say they've got more talent. I don't know. I think Wade Graham's literally the stage where he's better coming off the bench rather than starting.
Yeah, I love Gray Graham. I love the way he's played for years, but he's really struggling these days. I think the games is a bit too quick for him these days.
Yes. I like Matt Moylan and Sean Johnson together. I believe that's better. It's a more talented pairing.
I don't think Townsend's going to get a run for the rest of the year now.
I'm going to go...
If Johnson has a good run, I don't think he'll get a run for the rest of the year. Like, there's no use. You got Will Kennedy at fullback, Johnson. They're going to be guys there next year.
I'll go Titans with the Queensland fullback.
He's trying to start something here.
No, I'm not. He'll seriously be Queensland fullback.
He 100% will be, and that's because the guy who's coming back in the next game is going to be there.
So, you just said he will be. Thank you. I like that.
No, Caelan Ponga.
Caelan Ponga will be Queensland 5'8".
This is a very big game for this podcast because we've got Newcastle versus Manly.
See how Jared's just skating over that?
I didn't even listen.
Caelan Ponga will be starting 5'8" because Cam Munster won't be there, so Brinton will play fullback.
You know what? I hope that's the case.
Yeah, I don't.
I really hope that because he was fucking hopeless at NRL level at six. So
yeah, they're behind Newcastle.
Oh, mate. Don't. Okay, next game. Biggest game for the podcast. 40-year. We've got Newcastle versus Manly.
So you're driving Jared down to mine?
Adam. Trbojevic versus Ponga. Schuster versus Kurt Mann. Kurt Mann's giving away about 40 kilos. Phoenix Crossland, a debutant first, probably the most experienced half of the competition. Newcastle are fucked. Here we go. As I said, Caelan Ponga returns from a groin injury. Brabham Best returns from a hamstring. Kurt Mann moves from fullback to 5'8", and Phoenix Crossland is the new halfback with Blake Green retiring. Simi Sasadi drops out of the 17 to make way for Best's return.
Oh, his defense is so good.
Big in for Manly with Curtis Sirin the name to return early from a knee injury. This one interests me. Carl Lawton retains his spot in the side on second row.
That's literally, he was put in the second row last week because that's how far down our second row stocks are.
I wouldn't be surprised if there's a late change of Curtis Sirin and starting and Carl Lawton coming up to bench.
I would be based on Sirin's injury history and how long he's taken to shake this one. They did take a very cautious approach with him. But I love I don't know what Hazler's on, eh? Like, credit to what he's done to turn the team around, the attitude the inclusion of Tom Trbojevic. But we have such a shortage of second rows that on our reserves, he puts three outside backs and then a center / second row in case something happens. Curtis Sirin was one of the starting second rows at the start of the year, as was Jack Krzyzewski. Then it went to Andrew Davey, Palamani Olakadu's injured as well. And yes, we're down to a backup hooker from New Zealand coming off an Achilles injury.
Played well last week.
Yeah, he came off the bench, scored a try in the secondary position. Yeah. Sean Kepi generally plays prop. Anyway, Moses Sully retains his position.
Out of pure stubbornness, I have to put Newcastle because I can't pick Manly in our podcast at all. It's just
I pick Newcastle once this year.
Not against Manly.
And lost. I picked him when they versed the Tigers.
Okay, so for this game, essentially, I'll give you one. If Newcastle can shut down Trbojevic, there goes Manly. If Manly can shut down Caelan Ponga, there goes Newcastle. So that is the most accurate analysis you can get on this game because they are the pinpoint of both their attacks. You blunt those two, they're gone.
Well, Parramatta kind of blunted Trbojevic
week. They didn't. Look at his stats. They did not blunt him at all.
They didn't blunt his running meters, but they blunted his impact on scoring, kind of. Yeah, he only had one try and one try assist.
I am curious.
I can't Inari wait to Tuala. See Schuster versus Man.
Oh, mate, he's going to chew over
it. Give that to me all week.
I know. Inari Tuala versus Brad Parker. So, two reasonably unrated.
The movable force centers. Versus the stoppable object.
And then Bradman Best versus Morgan Harper. That's where Newcastle are probably strong, because I wouldn't say Morgan Harper's the strongest defensive player in the world.
No, he's improved this year. I've got to give him that. I agree, he's not the strongest, but he has definitely improved on last season.
Yeah, so but he's up against Bradman Best.
Who hasn't been at his best?
Yeah. Oof. I'll tell you what, the size difference here, Stafford Toa versus Jason Saab. Oh, shit.
I think we're kicking a Saab.
Yeah.
Seagulls, $1.25. Like Newcastle anyway. Knights, $3.90. I'm going Seagulls in this one. And they've still got Dylan Walker to come back and Kieran Foran after the bye. It's going to be interesting with Foran. I think Walker will slot straight in, but it'll be interesting to see how the rest of the squad is made up.
I think Foran will go back to six and Josh Schuster will go back second row just because you get no one else.
Yeah, I think that will be the case based on injury. I'd prefer it not to happen, but I can see how it has to happen.
I do want to say, number 21, George Stafford's been named, but...
He's been named for four weeks straight now.
Yeah. He's also been named in the centres for Blacktown, which I find very curious because...
Like, have you seen who our wings are in Blacktown?
Who are they?
It's usually Tafua and Tim Simona.
Yeah, so he's playing the centres this weekend.
Maybe we've got an injury in the centres.
Well, see, that's my point. Like, if you're going to push for a back for a starting spot, you'd want to catch as many high balls in the game situation as you can, because George Tafua is the slowest winger in the competition, but he's also one of the weakest under the high balls too.
So why would we put him in?
Why would you put him in the centres? Why wouldn't you train him up? Because he is damaging with the ball in hand.
Oh, I see what you're saying. You're talking about...
Yeah, so I don't understand why they're not going, mate, he needs to play on the wing because we're not going to play him in the centres in the NRL. Like, I don't get it. I think that's all. That's the last game in the round. That'd be pretty big. Adam will be partying with his three-year-old during this period, despite the fact that I didn't even get invited. No bite from that.
I found my bet. Sorry.
Okay, what's your bet?
I'm going to put it 10 because I've got it to play with. Yeah. On Cowboys to win.
Okay.
And the cheater to score a try in his return. So how about our feeder to score a try at any time? And that's $10 paying at $3.76, which I like those odds of feed out against whoever the Warriors center pairing is.
Okay.
Which means he'll probably have two try assists and no try, but anyway. Oh, he's against you and Aitken. That could be interesting because he'll burn him for speed easy, but Aitken's positioning generally pretty good. So that could be a good contest. You and Aitken next to two of us are shit.
Okay, so that's the end of this podcast. Jump on all the social platforms to send us a message, send us a voicemail.
I want some more voicemails on the show. Go to Anchor and hit the voice message tab and just say, Adam, you suck. We like Jared. We want to hear more of him, or vice versa.
Oh, I'm surprised that hasn't happened already. Jump on all that. Send us a message. You got anything else?
Oh, I'll just say, we love the interactions. We love reading stuff out. We love getting your opinions on things. We've had a few more lately, which has been really good over the last few weeks, especially on Facebook. Yeah,
thanks, Wal, for stitching me up.
Facebook and Twitter are the best. Let us know what's going on in your lives. If you want, we'll give you a shout-out on the show, but preferably your rugby league opinions and stuff you agree or disagree with. Really want to hear about them. Other than that, good luck. I hope you get out to watch some footy, hopefully. I can sit through some more of the games this week. I'll try my best, Jared, I promise. And go Manly.
See ya.
Bye.
Thank you for tuning in to Six Again. Connect with the show on Twitter, Instagram, and the Six Again website. All links via the show's bio. Be sure to check out Adam's craft beer choice of the week.